Hey, Brandon Ebel, rocking the Tooth and Nail podcast. This is the 27th Tooth and Nail podcast. I'm here with my boy, Scott Carlton.
Howdy, howdy.
And producer, Randy Torres. Give it up for everyone. Let's do this. All right. Getting right into the trenches. Imrie's brand new CD, In Shallow Seas We Sail, is in stores June 2nd. Here's a song called Piggyback Lies.
Never been with anyone else, but you lied as you tried to say somehow that I was the one to blame. Is this the way you found for saving yourself?
If lies were real,
you need help counting riches from your mouth's piggy bank.
I drove these streets to your front door,
so could you please just help me out?
It's sad to say, but there's always more.
Jealousy that caught my distrust,
but I'm such
a good pretender, I surrendered my doubts.
Of all the liars, number one is where you made your debut, but I'll teach you the truth,
because I figured you out.
I drove these streets to your front door,
so could you please just help me out?
It's sad to say, but there's always more.
That was Piggyback Lies. Scott, tell us about the pre-order.
There are three pre-orders available for In Shallow Seas We Sail. You can get a t-shirt at toothandnail.com/store, just a pretty sweet bundle there. You can go to innerpunk.com and get a 7-inch vinyl picture disc. Or at smartpunk.com, you can pre-order the album and you'll get an autographed booklet. Hurry, supplies are limited. Actually, there's four now that I just read this last one. At musicchristian.com, you can get an autographed inflatable life ring that totally fits the mode of the Shallow Seas We Sail artwork.
Imrie will be taking part in the Zoomies Couch Tour 2009 in mall parking lots across the country. The tour is free and features live band performances and pro skate demos, signings, giveaways, and more. Check out toothandnail.com or zoomies.com for dates. After the Zoomies Couch Tour, Imrie will be heading out on their own headlining run with Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, and on half of the tour, Secret and Whisper, and on the other half of the tour, Ivory Line. Stay tuned to toothandnail.com for dates.
So as you know, In Shallow Seas We Sail will be in stores and online June 2nd. The band will be in Nashville all day on June 2nd hanging out. They're going to be at the FYE store on 2400 West Enda Avenue doing an acoustic in-store. They're going to be playing some songs and doing some autographing. Ebel and I will both be in attendance.
We will be there. And if anyone comes up to us and says, hey, I listen to your podcast, we will give you a prize right there on the spot.
Probably a handshake or a high five.
or something else. It's hard to say.
A candy bar.
All right. Keep going.
All right. After the acoustic show at FYE, the band will be doing their own headlining release show at Rocket Town. Opening up for them will be our own The Almost, who are in the studio in Nashville currently. And who's recording The Almost?
Aaron Sprinkle.
He'll be performing as well.
And Tooth and Nail's The Becoming. This is Cutthroat Collapse. Imrie, In Shallow Seas We Sail. You can also find the song on iTunes for 99 cents.
just leave it. Some colors start bleeding, so guard yourself. That's what my folks used to say. Defended your secret, claiming past loves and regrets.
That was Emery in Cutthroat Collapse. Their new album, In Shallow Seas We Sail, will be available in stores and online on June 2nd. You can find it at iTunes, Target, Best Buy, anywhere you buy awesome music. Me Without You's brand new album, It's All Crazy, It's All False, It's All a Dream, It's All Right, is in stores and online now. Let's play the first track from the album, Every Thought, A Thought of You. That was Me Without You with Every Thought, A Thought of You.
Produced by Daniel Smith from the Danielson family. Totally awesome. Mixed by Brad Wood, who produced their last two albums. The band will be going on a headlining tour throughout June and July with The Deer Hunter. Check toothandnail.com for dates.
You can go ahead and get the new Me Without You widget and Facebook application for your MySpace page or Facebook profile. With them come music, news, photos, tour dates, and more. Go to toothandnail.com right now and we'll link you over to get one of those for your page. You can also watch the album trailer for It's All Crazy, It's All False, It's All a Dream, It's All Right at youtube.com/toothandnail. Here is The Fox, The Crow, and The Cookie.
Through mostly vacant streets, a baker from the outskirts of his town earned his living peddling sweets from a ragged cart he dragged around. The clever fox crept close behind, kept an ever-watchful eye for a chance to steal a ginger spice cake or a boysenberry pie. Look looking down was the hungry crow. When the time is right, I'll strike and condescend to the earth below and take whichever treat I like. The moment the baker turned around to shoo the fox off from his cart, the crow swooped down and snatched a shortbread cookie and a German chocolate tart. Using most unfriendly words that the village children had not yet heard, the baker shouted threats by canzonet to curse the crafty bird. You rotten wooden mixing spoon, why you midnight winged raccoon, you better bring those pastries back, you no good burnt black macaroon. The fox approached the tree where the bird was perched, delighted in his nest. Brother Crow, don't you remember me? It's your old friend Fox with a humble request. If you could share just a modest piece, seeing as I distracted that awful man. This failed to persuade the crow in the least, so the fox rethought his plan. Then if your lovely song would grace my ears, or to even hear you speak, would ease my pains and fears. The crow looked down with a candy in his beak. Your poems of wisdom, my good crow, what a paradise they bring. This flattery pleased the proud bird so, he opened his mouth and began to sing. Your subtle acclamation's true, best to give praise where praise is due. Every rook and jay in the core of the day's been raving about me too. They admire me one and all, must be the passion in my call. My slender bill known through the escadrille, my fierce commanding claw.
Me Without You, The Fox, The Crow, and The Cookie, their fourth album. It's all crazy, it's all false, it's all a dream, it's all right. Available May 19th at stores everywhere.
So on release date, we got on the phone with Aaron Weiss, the lead singer, and one of the writers for Me Without You. We had a little conversation with him that you can check out at the end of the podcast. Keep on listening and find it there. Family Force 5's brand new album, Dance or Die with a Vengeance, is in stores and online now.
This song is called Get Your Back Off the Wall.
It's revolution, starts when you're moving. You wanna step to me, unless you plan on losing. Not here to break, not here for 3 years. I'm here to battle, baby, I just to kill. I'm here to shake and let you leave. Lock the cling at the knees, stop dragging your feet. Time to go all in, time for standing tall. Move to kill them all.
Get your back on the wall.
We did.
That was Family Force 5, Get Your Back Off the Wall, remixed by 303. Family Force 5's brand new album, Dance or Die with a Vengeance, includes remixes from Sean from 303, Cobra Starship, The Secret Handshakes, Matt Thiessen from Reliant K, and the David Crowder Band.
As you know, As Cities Burn's brand new album, Hell or High Waters, in stores and online now. You can pick it up at your local Best Buy, Trans World, or Hot Topic. You can also download it online at iTunes or Amazon MP3. If you download it online at Amazon MP3 or iTunes, you get an exclusive bonus song called Gates. Let's go ahead and play the first track off the album. It's called 84 Sheepdog.
They fix your brain when you were young. They fix your brain when you were young. They fix your brain, they fixed it before you knew the difference. Containers of light come with a kiss. But they got quite a fight. They fix your brain when you were young. They fix your brain when you were young. Fix your brain, they fixed it before you knew the difference. They fixed your brain, they fixed it before you knew the difference.
And that was 84 Sheepdog by As Cities Burn. Check out the new album, Hell or High Water. It's in stores and online now.
To the nail news break.
To the nail news break.
The news.
The world premiere of Under Oath's Too Bright to See, Too Loud to Hear video is now online. Check it out at Under Oath's MySpace page, myspace.com/Under Oath. The song is off their album, Lost in the Sound of Separation, which is in stores and online now. The band just wrapped up a European tour, and they're going to be heading out on the Vans Warped Tour all summer long, so make sure you check them out there.
New Tooth & Nail artist Write This Down is just finishing up recording their brand new album on Tooth & Nail, which should come out this fall. Right now, we're just trying to figure out who's going to mix the record. Classic crime singer Matt McDonald will be doing guest vocals on Reliant K's new record in the next few weeks. As for Classic Crime, the band will be on the road the majority of the summer.
FM Static's new video for Boy Moves to a New Town with an Optimistic Outlook is now on MySpace. Go ahead and check out the animated video at myspace.com/FM Static.
Watch Corey Crowder's new video, Look How Far We've Come, now at Yahoo Music. All right, since October's debut album, This Is My Heart, is only $5.99 on iTunes. The band is on tour with Red through May. Then they'll go on tour with Burn Halo, Veer Union, all through June. Go to toothandnail.com for the list of tour dates. Also, keep calling into your local radio station and requesting the song Guilty. It's number 28 on Billboard's Active Rock radio charts.
And Then There Were None will be going out on tour all summer long. So check out their MySpace page for the dates or toothandnail.com. Ivory Line will also be heading out on the Warped Tour. They'll be out there for about 2 weeks. So check toothandnail.com for those dates.
Tooth & Nail Trivia.
All right, we got our winner from last month's podcast. The winner is Luke Chen from Ventura, California. Congratulations, Luke.
Give it up.
He wrote in with the correct answer 10 times that Mike Herrera was photographed and featured in the On the Cover 2 album. Way to go, Luke.
What does Luke win?
It was an autographed On the Cover 2 poster. We'll be putting that in the mail to you shortly. And the new trivia question for this month is, it's actually kind of easy because you just have to listen to the Me Without You interview, which is coming up in a few minutes. But my question to you is, what two instruments do I ask Aaron Weiss about in the production of their new album, It's All Crazy, It's All False, It's All a Dream, It's All Right? What are the two instruments that I question Aaron about in the using of the production of the album? Go ahead and email in to podcast@toothandnail.com with the correct answer, and you will win an Me Without You grocery tote bag. Tooth and Nail mailbag. Let's open up the bag, Brandon.
All right.
First question from Zach Crowell. What is going on with Neon Horse? A few months ago, they totally went dark. Are they still alive? If so, can we expect a new album soon?
So we asked that on the last podcast, and guess what? Here's the answer. Of Neon Horse, not just on the Tooth and Nail podcast, but in the Tooth and Nail mailbag portion of the Tooth and Nail podcast. Insane. Strange Town, Neon Horse. Thanks for writing in, Zach.
This question comes from Scott from Smithville, Missouri. Brandon and Randy. All right. First of all, Scott, you know, I've been on this podcast a little while, maybe about 10 or 15 of them,
bro.
But you throw Randy into the mix and not me. That's interesting.
Randy's been on the label for years, and, you know, I don't know, man. Randy's more of a celebrity.
That's just low. I don't even know I should answer your question here, Scott, but I liked the question, so we're going to go with it. Longtime Tooth and Nail fan. My question is, in the early days, there was a Tooth and Nail bow tie logo that appeared for a short time. What happened to it, and will we ever see it again? By the way, I still have my Tooth and Nail bow tie logo t-shirt. Thanks.
Dude, that's a really good question. As many of you know, Tooth and Nail is a very eclectic label, and we put out music all the way from Javelina Rail Company and the Danielson family, all the way up to, you know, heavy bands and hardcore bands. And at one point, it was getting kind of a little bit confusing for people to differentiate, especially before the digital age and the web was blowing up and everything else, to differentiate between some of the records, you know, like punk rock records and heavy records and indie records and more pop records. So as we wanted to do music that was a little bit more commercial, we came up with doing the bow tie logo to kind of like differentiate and show that this is more of a pop kind of release, commercial release. That being said, we bagged that idea and just created BC Recordings, where we broke the band The Supertones, and we have artists like Jeremy Camp. So basically, I guess you could say the bow tie logo was almost like the start of BEC in a weird way.
Cool. Thanks for writing in, Scott.
No one has ever asked me that, ever. And I love it.
Good question, my man.
That was
good
a really
question.
Good logo, by the way.
All right. Nick Oswald asks, rumor has it Secret and Whisper are developing a new album. Is that true?
That is true. Secret and Whisper is in the studio right now with producer Andreas Magnusson, and we will world premiere a track from their album on the next Tooth and Nail podcast.
Thank you guys for your questions to the Tooth and Nail mailbag. If you have any other questions, anything that's sort of on your mind, go ahead and email it in at podcast@toothandnail.com. And if you're really cool, you're going to record your voice on GarageBand or one of those recording softwares. Send it over to us, and we'll slip it into our next podcast.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Tooth & Nail Podcast. Thanks for listening.
And here is the highly anticipated interview with Aaron Weiss, lead singer of Me Without You. See you guys next time. Peace.
Hello?
Aaron.
Hi, is this Scott?
Yes, sir. It's Scott and Brandon Ebel from the Tooth & Nail Podcast. How you doing, man?
Hi, guys. Doing great. How are you?
Aaron, what's up, man?
Hi, Brandon.
So how does it feel? The record came out today. It's all crazy. It's all false. It's all a dream. It's all right.
Feels that way.
Yeah, just like that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly like that.
Right on. Well, where did the title come from?
Came from Bala Mujahideen, my family's spiritual father. A little longer, the quote from him, but how long can an album title be, you know? So we edited it down a little bit.
So it came from him?
Yes.
Crazy.
So you say he's your family's spiritual father. What does that mean exactly?
I don't know.
He's a family friend, or he's like someone you've known your whole life?
Well, he's a teacher and a holy man who came to America before I was born and left the world many years ago. So I don't physically remember him, but there's tapes of him talking. And he used to tell people to believe in God and to love God and to follow the prophets and Jesus. And my parents met while listening to his teaching. And that's how my brother and I were born. And he gave us our names and, you know, wrote the books, or he told the stories that my parents would read us as children, you know, telling us we should believe in God and to treat other lives like our own life and to forgive people, that sort of thing. It was all really simple, but very deep and very powerful teachings that have stuck with us, you know, our whole lives.
So this was a line that obviously touched you?
Well, yeah, it was one that, again, I don't know if fully understand the meaning of it or of him or his teachings, but sure, it's a powerful line.
Cool.
Cool. How was it working with Daniel Smith from Danielson Family?
Yeah, well, you know Daniel, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a goofball and definitely a very sweet brother and very creative and uninhibited, you know? His music is so unconventional. It sort of freed us up to experiment more, particularly with the vocals. You know, I would go off with him and just the two of us would work on vocals and while all the other guys were recording the songs, and it really helped me to have his encouragement.
How did you connect with Daniel?
He was first on our list. We had seen him around. He's from New Jersey and we're from Philadelphia, so we're sort of neighbors, but we didn't know him personally. But we really admired his music, so we tracked him down. I think Ricky contacted him on the internet or something really, you know, impersonal like that, but...
So you had never, ever met him before you did the record?
Oh, we had met him. We played maybe one show together, and we've been at festivals together, but, you know, there's so many bands. You might meet someone, but, you know, you don't really connect. But, yeah, like I said, we liked his art, and we thought he would be the perfect choice for a producer, and he was more than happy to do it, so we were super excited. And then Brian McTeer came on a little later as sort of a co-producer and engineer, cool. And that made Daniel's job a lot easier because he was having he and his wife were having a baby at the time, so he had his hands full with that, so I don't think he could have managed all by himself.
So was he familiar with Me Without You? Had he ever heard your music before he produced the record, or was he literally like, oh, I've heard your name but never heard the music?
No, he knew the music. I didn't get the impression he was a fan, but I think he liked the direction we were moving in. Of course, some of our older stuff is awfully heavy and doesn't sound much like what he would listen to.
Right.
But our previous record, you know, had elements of what we're really zeroing in on with this record, and I think that's the direction that was more appropriate for his style.
So with Daniel Smith, you know, in the studio, did you guys just get crazy overwhelmed, or was it, you know, pretty easy working with him?
Oh, it was really easy working with him. I think everything, I mean, we all have our lives outside the studio, and in some ways, you know, certain band members had personal things happening that would be more overwhelming. The band was almost taking a back seat during this time. The whole process of deciding to even record another record and writing the songs and then tracking and putting together the artwork and every element of it it happened really naturally. We didn't really try to force it. It wasn't one person really spearheading it and other people dragging their feet. It just sort of came together sort of effortlessly. But yeah, like I said, there were other aspects of our lives that were more dramatic and difficult. But the process of the record was almost effortless.
Wow, so it's almost like making the record was in some ways like an escape, or the most like normal thing going on in everyone's life. Kind of like a place where everyone could kind of come and like decompress.
Well, it was really nice because we'd had a rocky road for a while. And personally, you know, some of the guys didn't see eye to eye as far as what's our goal as a band and what do we believe spiritually and our ethics as far as money and all kinds of things that, you know, every band has to work out, of course. And, you know, we just sort of swept it under the rug and everybody did their own thing and tried to present something like a coherent unit or a whole. You know, and usually I'm the one with the microphone, so I'm saying things at the show that doesn't necessarily reflect what the whole band believes. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of tensions like that where I think in a lot of ways we had a disunity and a real lack of understanding for each other and a lack of love and respect for each other because of our differences. And all those have been just crumbling. You know, all those differences and the walls we've had between us have been falling and just throwing them away and coming to realize the, you know, appreciate the ways in which we're different and to thank God for for the fact that we're, you know, that everyone's not like me. And to really come to love and accept each other exactly as we are, and then as a whole kind of work on moving forward and work on learning what it is to love God and to love each other and to forgive the people who've hurt us. All this stuff, you know, we all know, and all of our differences were so subtle, but we made them really big, you know?
Yeah.
And the things that were common between us and the things that made us one are so big and so significant and so obvious. But we kind of ignored those things. So everything's gotten so much better. I mean, in so many ways, I could go on and on, but I'll try to keep it to a minimum.
Well, hey, Aaron, would you mind taking a second and talking about the production of the album? I know you guys used a ton of instruments in the recording. Crazy stuff like, you know, flugelhorn, and is it called a bouzouki?
Right, bouzouki.
Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, well, because of the new songs, the way a lot of them were written was just with an acoustic guitar as a bass with a few chords and a very simple melody that was relatively repetitive, and there would be a bridge in there somewhere. So it was kind of a more standard songwriting structure, and it left a lot of room for additional instrumentation. And because we did it in Philadelphia, which is where all of us live, we had a lot of friends in the area that would be dropping by the studio just to see how is it going and how is everything sound. And then they would bring their instrument along and say, well, I'll try a little bit. And most of the time it stuck. You know, we had one friend play bagpipes named Steven, and it didn't work, you know, as far as the key of the bagpipes is kind of a funny thing. So it didn't end up going on the record. But I think everything else that we recorded ended up going on there somewhere. Many of that additional instrumentation is friends playing. Some of it is hired people that we never met before they came in the studio. Like someone came in with a cello or a bass trombone that, you know, I didn't know, but our composer, Joshua Stamper, he had all those connections that he'd worked with previously. So it was a mixture of those.
That's crazy. So it almost makes it like a communal album between the band and your friends.
Yeah, we originally planned to call it Me Without You and Friends, but we thought it might be too generic or a bit misleading because, as I said, several of the players weren't friends prior to playing. So it wasn't entirely that way. Like what I'd like to think or portray, that it was just a big happy family and everybody knows each other. You know, there was some strangers and it was business. You know, we paid people to come and perform their craft, you know. But there was also the element of the personal connections and the friendship.
So why the musical change from like the heavier music? Was that more your vision and Daniel's vision, or was the whole band on board at first, or did you kind of come to the band and say, hey, this is kind of like what's been laid on my heart musically? I know that you guys, you had mentioned that you guys had some spiritual differences and some things going on internally in the band on a personal level, but when it comes to music, the record's also radically different, and it's awesome, by the way. We all love it. I mean, how did that process start? Was it kind of something you had planned, or was it you just got in the studio and you felt like from what you had, this is just what you wanted to do, or it just kind of came out that way? Or
yeah, that's probably your doing, Brandon. We back when we put out our first record, we signed with your label. We expected we'd be going on solid state because our music was so heavy. And then we found out, no, it's going to be Tooth and Nail. We looked at the other bands on Tooth and Nail. We said, well, we're much heavier than all these bands, you know? So maybe we're going to have to start lightening up our sound to fit in a little, a little better. I'm not sure, but that sort of set the tone for our band being going in that direction. And generally us just getting older and wanting to make more of the kind of music that we actually like listening to. And also, you know, some of the lyrical content being more, some of the songs sound like a children's story put to music. And we're hoping that our grandparents and our children, if we ever have them, or anyone who listens, you know, their children will be able to listen to the songs, you know, no matter what their age, and enjoy them and not go to bed with nightmares.
Yeah. So basically, as you guys have gotten older and mature, you're making music that you like and continue to like, and what comes natural. And as you get older and more mature, it's just what's kind of coming out.
Sure. Nobody wants to hear the same record twice. And
yeah.
Although we could do that, it would probably be easier to write, you know, our first record all over again. It's just each song a few power chords and some distorted guitar and a whole lot of pain. But to be honest, there's not that kind of pain anymore. We've worked through a lot of those difficulties and those emotional the places of turmoil and all that suffering. It wouldn't be sincere, and in fact, sometimes it's hard to even perform those songs, given that I don't feel that hurt anymore.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Awesome. You guys just shot a new music video. What song did you guys choose to do for the new video, and what's the concept of the video?
The song's called The Fox, The Crow, and The Cookie, and the concept is pretty direct storytelling. It follows the lyrics very closely, but it's presented in a puppeteering kind of way. We have a director named Amy Carrigan who came to, she had a lot of experience with shadow puppets and also 3D handheld puppets, and another director named David Bell who had more experience with set design and video direction. So the two of them working together, co-directing, best I can tell so far, did an unbelievable job. We're all so happy with the footage that we've seen so far. We just shot it last Saturday and Sunday. I mean, they were working around the clock. They called in all the favors they could, different friends, building puppets, designing the set, erecting the set, coming and helping with lighting. I mean, we had so many favors. For the budget we have, I think the video is going to be just wonderful.
All right, tell us about the tour you have coming up. You're going on tour with Deer Hunter. How'd you choose that band? And tell us about the tour coming up in general.
Yeah, a few of us went to Australia last year and played some acoustic songs on a tour called Soundwave, and the Deer Hunter was one of the bands in our little cohort on that festival tour. So we got to know a few of them, and they're very, very sweet. And so when we saw that they submitted for the tour, usually when we go on a tour, sometimes we'll take a friend, sometimes we'll pick from a list of bands that, you know, heard we were touring and submitted saying, yeah, they'd like to join us. So in this case, it was the latter. They were just one name on the list, and a few of the guys didn't know any of them, but Mike and I did know them. And so, you know, we also got a personal email from them saying, hey, we'd really like to do this. We're not just, you know, another band on the list that our booking agent submitted. We personally would, you know, like you guys, and we like your music. And so that makes a difference, you know, when it's not just our booking agent talking to your booking agent or our manager, you know, that kind of thing. But it was more of a personal connection. And so, yeah, we're very excited. And then the same with the opening bands is split up half and half. And the first half is a band called The Bear Colony. And you know Daniel Davison from Norma Jean.
Yep.
He manages the band, so he'll be coming out with, you know, he's an old friend. And also, and the band, the second half is called KK and is Weathered Underground, and we all really like their music. So, yeah, it's shaping up to be an awesome tour. And most importantly, just on a personal level, all the guys in the band are really excited to be together and to play together. But most importantly, just as friends and as brothers to share that time. So super excited for this tour, probably more than any other tour you've ever done.
What are all of you guys doing when you're not doing Me Without You?
Well,
I heard you might be going back to school. Or
yeah, actually, I've been in school this whole past year. I went back in the fall semester and took a few classes and then a few more this spring. So I just finished last week. And also Ricky and Greg took classes this past semester. Mikey's married. He has some more financial responsibilities. He's been working as a substitute teacher. And, you know, all of us have of course, we have our families here and other commitments, and we have other lives. So when we come home, we don't always, because we spend so much time together on the road, we don't always spend that much time together at home. But I could probably only tell you the surface level of what the other guys are doing, like school and work.
Where are you going to school?
That's called University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Could you go into how you were kind of discovered by Tooth & Nail? Because I've heard a few rumors, actually, but I don't know the true full story.
Yeah, we were playing at a festival called Cornerstone. You familiar with that?
Yes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bands playing there. So everyone's trying to get noticed. And, you know, so many fans passing out flyers, like, come see us, listen to us. Trying to stand out from the crowd. And we were just one of those bands, and not very good. But we all wore suits, and we had, you know, that was our gimmick, you know, playing really heavy music in suits, you know. But it just so happened that when we were playing our little show on a tiny generator stage, which is powered by, literally by a power generator, so it's not even a part of the legitimate festival, you know, just a little makeshift, you know, 1 foot high plywood stage that's set off on the side of a dirt road. At the moment that we started playing, right around that moment, the power went out on the entire festival. So all the real shows that were happening were no longer happening. So a lot of people were just sort of wandering around with no music to hear, but then there's us somewhat playing our songs, more like making a spectacle of ourselves. And so we had a decent-sized crowd, and someone from Tooth & Nail came walking by and said, oh, his name was Adam McKinnon. And he heard...
Correct, yeah.
He heard the music and said, oh, this is pretty good. It reminds me of, I think, Drive Like Jehu was the band he was into that he compared us to. And that's just what we were going for at the time. And he was a really cool guy. He got a fellow named Greg Patterson to come watch it. The next day, we were playing a similar show. And Greg ended up... working the whole thing out and talking to Brandon. Isn't that right, Brandon? It was Greg who kind of came to you?
Yeah, you got it. You nailed it. Yeah, I was, Scott, I didn't even know you were going to ask that question, but yeah, it was Adam and Greg both came up to me and said, the band Operation, that's on Take Hold Records, they have a couple of the guys have like a side band, and it's totally awesome. And so they had seen, you know, they'd seen your show or whatever, and, we basically started going down the road, and we were blown away. So specifically by you, Aaron, you know. And were you the drummer of the Operation?
Yeah.
So you were the drummer. Yeah, they're like, the drummer of the Operation is this other band. And, you know, and I thought the Operation was a pretty good band too, but we weren't totally into it, you know. And
yeah.
But they're a good band, you know, nonetheless. But we were just totally into Me Without You, and. So excited, you know. It was kind of weird because it was like a side band of a band that was playing a little generator show, and I don't know how much you guys were touring yet at the time or not, but it definitely stood out even then, and of course still does now, as being something very unique and original, and your, you know, lyrics specifically are just amazing. And so yeah, we were honored to have the opportunity to put out, you know, all four records, and you know, it's been awesome. So,
one final
question.
I love it.
We keep piling on the questions.
This one's easy though for you, Aaron. Out of the whole Tooth & Nail Records catalog, can you come up with a song to end this podcast with that you would like to hear?
Yeah. Well, I
do you know any bands on the label besides Me Without You? I guess he could end with his own song. You could end with a Me Without You song or a Danielson song, or
sure. I was going to say There Is No Dana Here by 238. No,
238, though, that's pretty cool.
Great. Well, Aaron, thanks again so much, man. We appreciate your time. It's been awesome.
Thank you. You got very, very. You guys are absolutely, definitely a blessing for me. And thank you for your patience in getting a hold of me, and for all your wonderful questions, and for all of your help over the years. It's been a wonderful grace for us.
Awesome, man. We'll look forward to seeing you on the 26th.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, man. See ya.
God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
string bead in your catalog of broken hearts.